flank.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
We have an item, we have an item for discussion this morning, possible introduction. It is a draft ordinance providing for the temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts. Council discussed this concept in February 1st of 2011. At that time, we met and had a presentation by CDAC member Patty Grimes, chair of the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. Joe Conaway also participated in the discussion. Taking from that, proposed a ordinance, again, providing for a temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use application, and residential plan communities. Section number one states, notwithstanding the time limits for validity set out in Chapter 99 of the Sussex County Code, 99-9B, for any preliminary subdivision plat and any recorded subdivision plat valid under 99-11 and 99-40, and outstanding as of, and that's a blank date, it's not been determined, shall remain valid for two additional years. Section 2 of the proposed ordinance provides that notwithstanding any other provisions of Chapter 115 of Sussex County Code, for any residential plan community valid under Article 16 and outstanding as of, and again, a blank date to be determined, shall remain valid for two additional years. And in Section 3, notwithstanding any other provisions of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code, for any conditional use action approved pursuant to the provisions of Article 16, Article 24, and Article 28 of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code, valid and outstanding as of, again, a blank date to be determined, and relating to new residential, commercial, or industrial development, shall remain valid for two additional years. The purpose of the ordinance, and as set aside in the synopsis, this temporary ordinance provides for the extension of all approvals and or permits granted by council and or the Planning and Zoning Commission for preliminary and final approvals for subdivisions, residential plan communities, and conditional uses validly existing on, again, a blank date for an additional 2 years. The purpose of the blank date is it's for the council to decide what that date may be so we could then advertise it. Would you desire it to be today, the adoption of the, or the introduction of the ordinance, or some date prior?
Weren't they asking for 1 year?
We're asking for two.
I understood that the parties had asked for a 1 year extension.
Originally, CDAC suggested one
yes.
year, and it takes typically more than 1 year to get all the agency approvals. If it's a preliminary approval.
Well, hopefully they had been working, if they're getting to the tail end, they should have been working. Now, this is the question I asked the other day, Lawrence, was we're going to just, you got in here the synopsis, this is all, and I'm not blaming you, I'm just thinking this is, if this is the direction we're going in, it's just crazy. There are subdivisions out there that didn't lift a finger, haven't done a thing, and are under no kind of harm that has been done by this. They just maybe had no intention of doing things, hoping to flip it, all kinds of things. So. I thought there was some conversation here that maybe we should have some minimal standards that the ones, you know, certain ones would maybe meet this threshold. The other thing is, I still don't understand why we can't do it on a case-by-case basis, which we do have an appeal process, correct?
When the ordinance was amended a couple of years ago,
right. Prior
to that, we had a method where you did extensions on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
When we adopted the revised ordinance, we granted 3-year a 3-year approval for the preliminary, and there was no extension process.
Right, but is there an appeal?
We're coming back to the commission for extension. There's no coming to council for an extension.
So there's no appeal? You're saying there is no appeal process?
There's an appeal process on the decision based on the preliminary approval or denial. That's the only appeal process.
Okay.
We've had, I'll just add to that, with the Planning and Zoning Commission for subdivisions and the subdivision code, there's the ability for the commission to grant waivers or modifications if there's a hardship and it's not self-created. So the commission was reviewing applications, you know, and an applicant or developer would come in and say, well, I've got, you know, X, Y, and Z agency approvals, but maybe I don't have DLDOT, or maybe I don't have engineering because of sewer issues, you know, unrelated to my project or maybe related to my project. The problem that we got into, and I think this is one of the reasons the commission would like an ordinance like this, is where do you draw the line? We've seen maybe 10 of these, and how do you, it's easy, I guess you'd say, if somebody hasn't done anything, but where do you draw the line? That's why.
That's why we're here, to make those decisions. We ought to draw a line and say that if you've done this and there is some hardship, I have no problem with that. I think we're awesome. But just to do all,
yeah,
I think is awful generous, and I just don't think, I mean, it was part of it was from this supposedly trying to help the economy here in Sussex County, creating jobs, et cetera. There's nothing we can do with some legislative action extending something for a year or two that's going to create any jobs. It's a joke if you think government's going to be able to do that. So I still think if we're doing anything, we ought to come up with a policy of if they do this, if they've been able to say that they've done this, this, and this, like you just alluded to, and they had problems on just this and this or whatever, you know, we ought to hear those, and we ought to come up with some process that hears those. But to say, and I think Lawrence alluded, there could be 50 subdivisions.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're just swept up in this. And what about the guys who got sunsetted last year? I mean, it's totally unfair to those people. I don't get it why we're doing this. Case by case basis, we can do the same thing. Come up with a suggestion for that, and that shouldn't take a whole lot.
The concern about the case-by-case basis put us back to where we were 3 years ago.
Well, I say establish some, establish, draw the line. Mm-hmm. I think we're all intelligent people. With your help and your guidance, guys who do it, say here's where our suggestion is, here's where the line should be drawn. If you have done these things and you've had trouble, or if there's 10 things you need to do and you've done 5 of them, you know, there's legit. If you've done 0, I'm not sympathetic to those kind of people. So I just hope the rest of the council is not sympathetic to coming up with some kind of hokey program to do this. And I just feel sorry for the guy who got sunsetted a year ago. What do we tell him when he starts calling me up? I'm sorry.
Any more comments from council?
Yeah.
Give me a good reason why we should do it. That's all I want to hear.
I'd rather see them on an individual basis.
Okay.
I think those good reasons are out there. I think the committee has talked about this. I think it's time to have a public vetting of the issue. I'd like to introduce it.
Well, give me a good reason.
That's what public hearings are for.
I thought you heard.
Not
okay.
On the committee.
That's all right.
Okay.
Councilman Phillips is saying he will introduce it as written. Now, do we need? Let me ask this question just for my own benefit. Can we introduce it as it is with the date blank?
I think that to have to have that date. It needs to be a complete ordinance to be introduced.
Mm-hmm. What was the recommendation of the committee?
The committee of 2?
Yeah.
We didn't really pick it. As I said, it would be the introduction today. We discussed January 1st of this year, and we've had suggestions just in some of the literature that we've picked up that to go back to last year, year before, I forget which it was, but it was just a date.
That's sort of the dates where you go back to January 30th of 2010 if you wanted to pick a retroactive date. I think there was a consensus, you know, just in talking to different people, that you go back further than that, you know, that gets a little too far removed. Certainly there could be a bright line date of January 1. There could be the date that it's introduced, or there could be the date that it's adopted. You know, those are all, you know, pretty.
Yeah, let me just.
That date, if we set it at January 30th, 2010, we would have the ability to go back further as an amendment to the ordinance in the process, because that would make it less restrictive. We couldn't move it closer to the current date.
No, you
The other way around.
I'm sorry?
The other way around. You could move it more to current, but you can't go back further. Can't add to it.
I would think, no, it's what Mr. Phillips said, because if you're saying it's January 1 of 2010 and you moved it to January 1 of 2011, you'd be eliminating all those people in that calendar year.
Yeah. All right. Well, if I have the authority as part of my introduction to say January 1 of 2010, I would like to do that.
And I assume that, I mean, because there's no date there, I'm assuming, Mr. Rutt, that as the person introducing the ordinance, he can put the date in there.
Yes, correct.
And then we deal with that at the public hearing. Councilman Cole.
I got one last thing I'll say. I sense there's not a lot of, the comfort level with this proposal is not there. I'd hate to see us introduce this. We go, we have staff time, you know, wasted on it and everything else. And there's people in the back of their mind think this is a bad bill. I think my suggestion would be, why don't we sit and talk about this a little more? I just can't believe that we're going to go and jump in and do this. If we end up doing it, it just, there's so many things not in this thing. But, I mean, I think we can do a better job. I don't think this is the answer to the problem. So, you know, take another week or two. Maybe we can revisit this and try to do something better. This isn't it. We're going to go through a whole public hearing process. We're going to have staff working on this, and it may get turned down. And it just, it'd be a shame just to throw it out there. I just hate to waste people's time. And there's a cost associated, and you've brought this up many times. There's just cost associated with all this stuff. The cost associated with the attorneys, with staff time. I mean, here we got two attorneys right now. I would rather get a good bill or some good legislation here that will work.
You want to defer this for a week or two?
I would make, well, he's always introduced it, but I'd just
would just say maybe turn it down and we come back with a suggestion, maybe, Sam, to not give up on it, but let's try to get it better. Okay, that would be my suggestion.
Councilman Phillips has introduced it. You did put a date in there of
January 1st, 2010.
January 1st, 2010.
You don't want to withdraw your introduction because you just sensed from Sam maybe and Joan and I, there's three here already that aren't real comfortable.
All right.
Do you want to go forward at this point?
No, I definitely want to go forward. I think through the public hearing process, we will be offered information that could help us improve it. And that improvement could come in the form of amendments during the process of this ordinance. Or if this ordinance turns out not to be amendable, at least we will have that body of information to allow us to craft one that is better. But until we have that public vetting of this, Mr. Cole,
okay,
you have no interest in doing what you're suggesting.
Well, no. I don't think it's.
This is a delay tactic.
No. I sense something will get done, but I don't like this one. I don't think there's enough on the council that like what we got in front of us.
We may have the opportunity to amend it.
What if nobody shows up? What if it's one of those things that nobody really takes an interest in? We haven't learned a thing where we could do a better job. Okay, no, we'll go ahead.
We've heard comments. Obviously, Councilman Phillips has the right to introduce this, and he has introduced it, and we'll move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's
that's
now introduced. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Lank, you're back up again, aren't you?
Don't
move
one.
Back up again.
Old business.
We have an item of, excuse me, I'm about to lose my voice, I think, today. We have an item of old business, change of zone number 1697, to application of Landtech Receiver Services, LLC, for an ordinance to modify condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475, the application of Ribera Odyssey, LLC, as amended by ordinance number 2018 for change of zone number 1697, the application of Peninsula at Long Neck, LLC, for the Peninsula, a MRRPC, Medium Density Residential District Residential Plan Community, to extend the time to construct and open for use the Golf Clubhouse and Nature Center facilities. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 18th of 2010. County Council held public hearing on December 7th of 2010. Planning and Zoning Commission made a recommendation on January 27th of 2011. On January 27th, 2011, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the application of Lantec Receiver Services, LLC, for an amendment of condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475, as previously amended by ordinance number 2018 for change of zone 1697, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons, but modified from the proposal set forth by the applicants. One, a clubhouse must be built as promised by the original developers. That promise was relied upon by the county and by those purchasing lots within the peninsula development. Two, a receiver has been appointed by the Court of Chancery to maintain and operate the entire peninsula development, including the clubhouse. Lantec, the receiver, has made positive steps to in continuing with the development of the project. Three, the development and club currently have a lot of substantial amenities. Many of those amenities would be included in a clubhouse, including a grill, pro shop, health and fitness center, locker rooms, swimming pools, and other facilities. Four, based on the governing documents of the Peninsula and the Peninsula Country Club, neither the developer nor Lantec are members of the club. Only members pay dues based upon the budget determined by the club each year. Five, construction of the clubhouse would place an undue burden on not only the developer or receiver, but also on the individual members, which are homeowners in the development. They would be required to carry the cost of the clubhouse and its operation and maintenance. Similarly, the increased dues associated with the clubhouse would adversely affect the marketability of future sales within the development, which are necessary to maintain its viability. All purchasers of residential units within the peninsula are required to be club members. Six, the county has received many letters in support of the applicant's request to delay construction of the clubhouse. In contrast, only one property owner has objected to the proposal. Seven, the applicant has stated that the required number of members necessary to construct, operate, and maintain the clubhouse will be achieved in 3 to 4 years. Eight, I do not believe that the applicant's proposal for determining the time frame to construct the clubhouse based upon membership is appropriate. The proposal places too much control over the timing in the hands of the developer, or the applicant, or the club owner at the time. Instead, the county should set a specific date that is known to everyone for completion of the clubhouse. Nine, I also do not believe that the escrow agreement proposed by the applicant is the best means to guarantee completion of the clubhouse. These county ordinances require bonds or letters of credit as guarantees for completion. In this case, the means of guarantee should be used as well. Ten, it is my recommendation that condition number 10 to change zone 1475, as amended by change zone 1697, should be as follows. A, recreational facilities, tennis courts, swimming pool, community buildings, pathways, trails, and beaches shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. B, the nature center shall be constructed and open to use by May 30th of 2011. And just as a caveat to that, we discussed this at the last meeting, that was a proposal offered by the developer time of the public hearings, which is 3 months past.
It would be
so that date should change to a different date.
There's no way we can meet that date.
Z, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 1 year from the date Sussex County Council approves change of zone 1697, with construction to be completed 12 months thereafter. A bond, cash bond, or letter of credit shall be provided to Sussex County in the amount of 125% of the cost of completion of the clubhouse within 60 days of the date that Sussex County Council approved change of zone 1697. And D, the site plan for the clubhouse shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Motion carried 3-2. For the purpose of record, the votes were taken by roll call, with Mr. Burton voting yea, Mr. Johnson voting yea, Mr. Smith voting nay, Mr. Ross voting yea, and Mr. Wheatley voting nay. And I had no reason stated on the nay votes. But the issue, if you give favorable opinion to this, based on the conditions, there should be a change in the date under B on the Nature Center.
Would they say 6 months they needed or something from?
Well, basically, they made that offer at the council level would have been December 7th, mm-hmm. and said they could have it done in May. So basically, they were saying
six months.
End of the month, 6 months.
Okay.
With 6 months.
Well, why don't we just, if we're looking at today is April, end of April, so say, or end of March, so April, May, June. We'll go out 6 months, what would that be, end of July?
September.
Oh, September, I'm sorry. Okay, well then say September 30th, and we'll strike that. If there's, I'll make a motion, we amend B to September 30th.
Second.
We have a motion to second to change the date for the Nature Center construction to be open and used by, from May 30th to September 30th of 2011. Any questions on the motion? I'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
I have another suggested amendment also. We'll okay. see how this goes. On C, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 3 years from the date of Sussex County Council's approval, et cetera, et cetera.
Everything else stays the same except changing.
I don't see any reason to change anything else. I think that's all.
Okay. What was that again? I'm sorry.
3 years.
Three.
Change it from one
to
three.
Three.
Mm-hmm. And part of my reasoning is that this is this situation or a dilemma has been caused by a down economy, and we have a situation here where the current developer and the residents, the owners, property owners, are all in agreement. So many times we have in conflict. This seems to be everybody seems to be on the same page. So
we have a motion to change in Tennessee from 1 year to 3 years for the construction to begin.
Second.
George said in his wording, no later than 3 years. Is that what you said? No later.
Saying I was just going to change the word one
to three.
To three. I wasn't going to change anything else in there. Is there anything about the wording you say that's.
But the Sam's question, you're correct, Sam. It says shall commence no later than okay. 3 years from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. The way it's written.
We have a motion and we have a second to make that change. Any question on the motion?
Yeah, not a question, but I think three is too long. I would prefer to see two. Also, to suggest that everybody is in agreement, obviously, is inaccurate. Everyone is not in agreement.
I didn't say everybody. I said majority.
You said all. Yeah, you listened to the tape. So, you know, I think that this developer has been delaying. I mean, Mr. Cole, you were just a couple minutes ago very critical about these developers who have delayed. Here's a situation that now you think that we should be lenient on the developer.
It's for the people.
I will vote no on this and make a motion to make it 2 years if the motion fails. That's well, all.
There is a difference why I'm supporting this, and I'll explain it to you someday when you have enough time.
Yeah.
Any more comments or questions on the motion? Not. We'll take the vote on the motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank
I'll make a motion and we adopt the change of conditional use. Is it a change of zone?
Surely it's modified the ordinance.
Okay, this is change of zone 1697 with the amended changes.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Mm-hmm. To approve the change of zone
as amended.
Any questions on the motion?
I do have one question. I just happened to look down at the delinquent taxpayers list. Peninsula at Long Neck, $66,000 owed to the county. Is that any relationship to this applicant?
I'd have to refer to Sue, but at the time they applied, everything was covered.
Peninsula at Long Neck LLC, is that anything to do with this applicant? This is.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your first question.
Peninsula at Long Neck LLC owes the county $66,000 in back in delinquent taxes. Do they have a relationship with this applicant still, or?
Not the receiver, do they, Dave? Are you familiar?
Yeah, the Peninsula at Long Neck.
The receiver.
Yeah, is in receivership.
Right.
So the application is actually made by the receiver, who's been appointed by the court.
Right.
To move this forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the underlying entity that owned it didn't pay their tax.
Right.
The receiver is in the process of cleaning all of this up. One of the things they should do is pay the taxes, the back taxes.
How do we get them paid?
Well, we have a clean hands ordinance.
I mean, why were they allowed to go through this process without paying this? I thought that was part of the clean hands ordinance.
Well, yeah, there's a pretty extensive court order from the Court of Chancery, and one of the things is that they can go forward to make this a viable subdivision, and in the process, you know, one of the things they will have to do is go back and take care of these kinds of things. But in terms of their authority, much of it is guided by the Court of Chancery order.
But again, we have an ordinance, a clean hand ordinance, that I thought should have prevented them from even making this application until that $66,000 was paid. Did that slip through the cracks?
I'm not aware of what was going on at the time of the application, but we can look into it.
What was the day of the application?
It's an interesting point. I wasn't.
January 27th, 2011 was this under old business. It was the last time. It was before that, obviously.
June 7th of 10 is when they applied.
Well, that's what he's saying. It's in receivership. I mean, we knew that the whole Peninsula situation was in receivership and was being led by the Court of Chancery.
So was it the, I guess, the assumption that we will have a better opportunity to receive our back taxes by, somebody made, I guess, the decision to accept it, or maybe it wasn't even, like, maybe it was missed. I have no idea, but I'm just saying. The assumption is what I'm hearing is that we'll maybe have an opportunity now to get our money, because hopefully by doing that certain things that they will get out of the problem and be able to pay it. So maybe, or we can make advances. I don't know if we can make a condition at this point. If you'd have brought this up earlier, we could have maybe put here a condition that they would be paid up before they got any extensions. Because that, I wish you'd have said that earlier.
I'll make that motion as part of.
Well, I don't know where we are, Dave.
Mr. Rutt.
See if you can straighten things out.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Can we make it a condition?
At this point, we've started the vote, I believe, haven't we?
No, we've got a motion on the table, but we have not started the vote.
Yes, we did. I voted yes, you voted yes.
So you want to make an additional condition that all back taxes be paid?
Yeah, I would.
Well, first of all, we've had two votes, I think, Mike, haven't we? And it was.
That was on the other one. This is.
Mm-mm. That was on the whole thing.
We have a motion to adopt the ordinance with amended conditions made by Mr. Cole, seconded by Mrs. Stever.
Mm-hmm.
Did we actually take a vote?
We had two votes.
Or did we just make a motion and second?
I think you called for
Mrs. Dever and Mr. Cole.
That's where
I'm pretty sure that we voted on the years, three years. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure after that motion was made, I jumped in with the question. You said, is there any questions? And that was the question I had.
This is the third motion I have written on this.
Okay.
I had the same thing. I had Mr. Cole making the motion, Mrs. Dever making the second to amend. With amendments, and then
we had two votes.
The vote started.
Yeah.
Right. So I think you came. Now you've raised the issue. Is there any way we can back it up at this point, or are we pretty? Or can we make an additional motion after we get done with this?
You have to vote on the motion that's on the floor.
We can vote that down.
So the answer to that would be then to vote it down,
or you can either vote it up or down. If you vote it down, then you make a new motion with the condition.
Right.
Or if you vote it up, you then make a motion to amend
Okay, let's just do that prior.
I mean, we're opening ourselves up to this being appealed based on the fact that it really was an illegal application since it didn't follow our clean hands ordinance. So I think we need to shoot this down and address this issue, because it's, otherwise, we're just very vulnerable.
In that case, we're gonna continue with the vote.
Is that a legitimate, that's a good reason, right?
No, I mean, yeah, that's a valid.
We have only had two votes to date.
Right.
Two yays over here.
Y'all wanna change?
Can we withdraw our votes?
I think the best thing is to vote.
Go ahead and vote on the motion.
Okay.
Your mid-process.
Based on this new information that's come to light, that certainly puts into question the entire validity of the application, I'll vote no.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
I'll vote no, motion defeated.
Okay.
This just came in the door today or something, I guess is.
This was in our packet this week.
Yes.
I just happened to look down and.
Well, good, I didn't see it.
So we have defeated that motion. Try again?
Can we make another condition then, Mr. Lang? Can you add a condition then requiring the developer, whoever the name is of it, what it's, Land Tech or something, anyway, that they will be in compliance with the county's clean hand ordinance? Would that be the best way to do it? Just state it that way?
Yes.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to add one more condition, and that be that the, I guess the receiver would pay the tax, whoever's gonna pay the taxes before this can proceed forward.
Right.
Any questions on this motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Now that we need your motion.
Good job.
Pass the whole thing.
Was that a vote on just the condition?
Just on the condition.
Okay, we still.
Not on the motion, not on the application.
Oh, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll protect myself.
Mr. Cole, do you want to?
I'll make a motion, we adopt the change of zone ordinance 1697 as amended a number of times.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the change of zone 1697 as amended. Any questions on that? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues surrounding this. One is, you have to wonder how many people bought into the peninsula based on the assumption that this clubhouse would be built. We did have one gentleman who went to the expense of coming forward and making the argument against this application, obviously because he bought into it. You have to wonder how many other folks in there agree with him, didn't bother coming because they knew he was serious about addressing their concerns. It's not unanimous other than him. We have no evidence that everybody else is in agreement with this. So you have to wonder, you know, how many people have been sold a bill of goods, and this has been delayed and delayed. But there certainly was many people that did want this delayed because they were in fear of their homeowners' dues going up.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I will vote yes. It does seem like it is the best recourse at this point in time to try to satisfy this very unfortunate situation.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And I also will vote yes, motion carried.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Now you're done. Thank you, sir. Mrs. Webb, grant requests.
First one today, Teen Missions.
So what is that?
Is that to someone or?
That is to a student that goes on mission trips. We have funded this kind of organization in the past. It is in your district. She is from Milford.
So it's illegal?
Yes.
It's legal for us to
yes.
to finance that?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
To grant.
All right. Okay. All right. And do you have some idea of how much they're looking for?
Well, they're just looking for help for their mission, but we have done $300 in the past.
Well, I move that $300 be taken out of my account for it.
We have a motion to take $300 Mrs. Deaver's account for the teen mission sponsor, Sarah Wood.
Second.
And a second. Any question on the motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you.
BFW Uplink program.
That's something we've all done. What that is, it the VFW purchases those calling cards.
Sure.
And in distribution, we've been doing it for the last couple of years, what do we give, is it $1,000?
Last year, we gave 200 each for $1,000.
I'll make that motion, 200 each.
Have a motion and a second to grant $200 from each Councilmatic fund for the VFW Delaware for uplink phone cards for troops. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Delaware Envirothon.
My district.
That's another, I think, countywide.
What have we done in the past?
100 each for a total of
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to grant $100 from each Councilmatic fund for the Delaware Envirothon for 2011 competition. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And Clear Space Theater Company?
I move $1,000 from my account to this one.
Second.
Have a motion and a second for $1,000 from Mrs. Deaver's account. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Rutt?
There is one ordinance to be introduced, and this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR one agricultural residential district for a lawn maintenance and tree cutting company to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.735 acres more or less, and that's filed on behalf of Toby L. Schlick.
I'll introduce it.
Motion introduced by Councilman Phillips. Additional business brought before council. We have four. First, Carol Summers. Please come forward.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Carol Summers of Lewis, and I coordinate the activities of the Observer Corps of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. Last week was Sunshine Week, a period of recognition of the importance of freedom of information and open government. Today, as a follow-up to Sunshine Week, we appreciate this opportunity to present our second annual Observer Report. Copies of this were also sent to each of you, as well as to the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment. As part of the League of Women Voters' support for openness in government, its Observer Corps monitors governmental bodies for issues of importance to the League and to the county. The Observer Corps of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County was organized in January of 2009. We have now completed our second year of activity, and this year, in addition to County Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission, we also began attending meetings of the Board of Adjustment. Reports from the observers were compiled into monthly reports and submitted to the Board of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. Between February 2010 and January 2011, that's the period of the report, the League of Women Voters observers attended 70% of County Council meetings, 38% of the meetings of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and 65% of the meetings of the Board of Adjustments. So this report is a compilation of the major themes and concerns from the past year as viewed by the observers. First of all, adequacy of information available to the public. Hearing the speaker. Observers at Board of Adjustments and Planning and Zoning Commission reported that speakers did not always speak into the microphone or were too far away from the microphone to be heard. Next is agenda information. There were frequent reports of lack of specificity in property locations and descriptions on the agendas of the Board of Adjustments and the Planning and Zoning Commission. There's a general lack of descriptive information on county council agendas. However, on several occasions, efforts were made to accommodate the public, such as the budget was introduced using a PowerPoint presentation that was visible to the audience. Maps of proposed water district extensions were provided at the October 26, 2010 meeting, and a financial document under discussion was distributed at a meeting in January 2011. On two occasions, there were not an adequate number of agendas available for the public at County Council. On several occasions, cases before the Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning Commission appeared to have been discussed outside of meetings, and that's a FOIA violation. In regards to zoning and land use, the approved budget includes the purchase of software that would provide notice of expiring and expired conditional use and other timed approvals. Since the information provided in response to proposal to allow additional extensions was manually obtained at a meeting in February 2011, lack of this function evidently continues. Discussion about filling the vacant position of county planner occurred throughout the year, but a qualified planner has not been hired. The salary being offered is not adequate to attract a certified planner, and the job description lacks important research and long-term planning functions. Support for development where there is no adequate infrastructure continues. In September 2010, an observer asked for maps showing existing and approved subdivision and conditional use requests and was told that compilation of these maps was incomplete. These maps are still not available at the end of the year. Affordable housing. Vacant county-owned houses were provided for use by Habitat for Humanity after a competitive request process. This was a commendable win-win project. Manufactured homes. Issues with manufactured homes led to the formation of an ad hoc committee in April. A report not approved by the ad hoc committee was submitted to and accepted by County Council. Based on the report, the code was revised, and some homeowners contended that the work of the ad hoc committee is incomplete. In November, County Council said it would revisit the issue, but there has been no action. Appointments, reappointments to the Board of Adjustment. The Institute of Public Administration offered training for boards of adjustment in Dover in May 2010. No members of the board attended. Whether or not this type of training could or should be required for board members was discussed at County Council, but no decision was reached. County Council initiated a more formal review process for appointment, and two candidates were interviewed during council meetings. One was rejected, and a decision about the other's appointment was deferred because of the absence of one member and a desire to wait after a County Council Board of Adjustment workshop scheduled for August. The County Council Board of Adjustment workshop in August identified problems, including inadequate preparation of applicants, traditional decisions, and long-standing but recently discovered code violations. At the end of the year, the two appointments to the Board of Adjustment still had not been made for terms that expired in June 2010. Ethics. A workshop on ethics requested by a council member has not been held. So, in summary, based on the past year's observations, the League of Women Voters of Sussex County proposed the following actions. Number one, hire a certified planner with salary, job scope, and authority appropriate for a professional. Two, provide agenda information so that the public can understand and follow the discussion. Information that is distributed to the press should also be available to other attendees. Projected images could be used when appropriate, so that public can visualize site plans, etc. Officials should make sure they can be heard by the audience in the chamber and online. Computerize information about expiring and expired conditional use and other timed approvals and make this information available online. Make maps showing existing and approved subdivisions and conditional use requests and make these readily available to the public. Reconvene the ad hoc committee on manufactured homes to address homeowners' unresolved issues, and fill the expired positions of Board of Adjustment and require all members and board attorney attend training about the responsibilities and the laws and regulations involved. The League of Women Voters Observer Corps will continue its activities this year as we share with you the goal of ensuring good government for the citizens of Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That was a good use of your 3 minutes.
Question.
Helen, you appointed the people to the Board of Adjustment.
Question, if I may. Is the league monitoring the Department of Natural Resources promulgation or regulation process?
Well, we're dealing with our county. That's the state.
Well, those state actions affect this county?
The state League of Women Voters, I really can't answer.
Could you encourage them, please? A lot of less than transparent actions are being taken. Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. We don't control that.
Thank you.
Next, Joe Kling. Klingy. Jill.
The league, it's Sunshine Week, so we turned out in force. Carol mentioned this in her report, but as you were talking about the extension moratorium on things going dead, applications going dead, I'm really concerned that there be a list, a map, readily available to you all and to the public of what's already been approved. As you get new applications coming in, if you have these, how many, 50, out there that you've already in the works and you don't know what they are, it's very hard to know what the implications are for new conditional use applications or whatever. So I'm just here to urge you to see that does, I know it's been in the works, but it's been talked about for over 6 months.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's a good point. Never thought of that.
Yes, it is.
Sandy Spence.
David, if you could, as we go through on that introduction that Vance made today, maybe they could show a map showing where some of these are.
A list, something.
Because we're just have no idea what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Sorry.
That's okay. Just so that doesn't take my 3 minutes.
No.
My name's Sandy Spence, and I live outside of Lewis. And I am president of the State Board of the League of Women Voters at the current time. So we will be happy to discuss with you any of your concerns and look into them with NREC. But I came to speak today about redistricting. we had a public forum in November, and we were told that, at least in the past, it isn't clear whether it applies to the redistricting that will occur this year. But we were told in the past, the council delegated to the county attorney the responsibility for redistricting, and that he hired a consultant who then prepared the maps that were then adopted by the county council. So we were under the impression that this is the process that had been determined to be used this year. However, it is unclear whether that process was in fact developed or approved, because as far as we know, there has never been a public hearing or a public meeting at which the procedure would be discussed. It is a fact that the state law prohibits the county from adopting a redistricting plan for county council until after the state completes the redistricting of the legislature. So we understand that it won't happen probably until after June 30th, whenever June 30th ends. We understand that might be deferred, and as long as they only recess, they could meet in August and finish it up, but as long as they haven't adjourned as of June 30, it'll happen whenever it happens. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we would request that you have a public meeting discussion mm-hmm. of the procedure that will be used in redistricting county council. I don't believe it's necessary for you to delay decisions of the procedure until after the legislature does theirs. And if you have, in fact, discussed the procedure prior to this time outside of a public meeting, I would suggest that is probably a violation of FOIA. FOIA does not cover redistricting. So any discussions of redistricting, we believe, must be conducted in public if it's discussed by the county council. And we do understand that last time, 10 years ago, the council did give the attorney and the consultant that did the map some direction on how they wanted the redistricting to be done. In fact, we understand that they were directed to come up with a map that would ensure that the coast area have at least 3 council members representing the coastal area of the county. And that was, in fact, done. So we believe that if any direction of that type is provided to the attorney and to the consultant that the attorney hires, that should be done in a public meeting. Further, I wanted to mention that in December, I sent an email to the then president of county council asking certain questions about the procedure, and that was not answered. So about a month ago, I wrote a letter with copies to the administrator, the attorney, and all the members of county council asking three questions. One is, what is the RFP process, the request for proposal, that would be used by the attorney in hiring the consultant? Second, what is the timeline that the county expects to use in redistricting, recognizing that it can't be completed until after the state legislature completes theirs? And finally, I asked for the budget on redistricting and how much it'll cost the attorney and how much it'll cost the consultant to complete this process. That has not been answered, and I presume it can't be until it's discussed in a public meeting. So I would suggest that you might want to schedule a public meeting to discuss those kinds of issues and any direction you plan to give to the attorney and the person who does the map. And the one thing that does concern me is the League of Women Voters, both at the U.S. level, at the state level, and at the county level, always urges complete transparency and public participation in redistricting. 3 years or 10 years ago, when it was done, there were not easy ways to do that in public, but today there are software procedures, there's ways you can show it up on a screen and so on, so that you could easily make it possible for the public to be aware of the proposals, and that presumably would be more than one. There could be various options because there's all kinds of ways you can draw lines on maps. And number two, that it should allow for public participation and feedback into the process. For example, one important criteria in redistricting that is respected very highly in the courts is that of a concept of communities of interest. And that would include such things as minorities, ethnic minorities, and other kinds of communities of interest. So we believe that there should be an opportunity for the public to indicate what community of interest they feel they belong to and how that should be represented so that those communities can be represented adequately by whoever their council member ends up being. Thank you.
Is the General Assembly having open hearings with public input?
We've been told that the House, we've been told by the House Majority Leader that there will be at least two public meetings on the process.
And 10 years ago, there were.
To my knowledge,
there were no attempt to make,
that's right.
made to do anything.
That is correct.
Because I wasn't asked about my thoughts on any of that. It was all done wherever it was done. But
that's correct. And I will say that the legislature has some new rules under FOIA because 10 years ago they were exempt from FOIA. They claimed that they were not a public body and therefore they were not subject to FOIA. But that law was changed a year ago. And so now the legislature is subject to FOIA. However, the caucuses are not. And presumably a lot of the work will be done in caucus. So.
But I think we should bring something else.
The county is required to follow FOIA. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I know we're not supposed to respond back, but just for information for you, one quick thing. The reason I have not responded to your letter, because we have had no discussion.
But can I ask Mr. Rutt? Mr. Rutt, would it be something that maybe you or Everett put together, maybe what the law says we're familiarizes, because some of us have not been here for one of these processes. And even though I was here, I wasn't involved. So it would be nice to give us what the law says, what we have to do.
We can prepare a memo for
right.
Council.
And then maybe, Dave, if you want to, as part of that procedure, involves some things that maybe what you would like to see us do.
Sure.
Okay.
And put it on the agenda for discussion.
It'll be much more transparent than it was 10 years ago. I will promise you that. When four Democrats had control of the.
Let's see how the Republicans do.
We'll see.
I think that, I just, I only want to clarify, I hate to ever correct a fellow council person, but I think that was three Democrats.
Three to two. Were you here, were you, that's right, Vance was, that's right, Vance and I were here.
Three Democrats.
Were you involved at all, Vance?
I was in the back room with them.
You were with them?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Vance was with, I'm sorry, Vance, I am corrected.
Let's get back on mission here. Diane Hanson.
I'm sorry, I think my name was.
Oh, okay.
Is there anybody here, somebody called me this morning, said they wanted to come in and talk about a variance concern?
No, their hand comes up.
Can you sign the sheet before you come up?
Variance concern or something.
Various concerns.
Need to sign up first, please, sir.
Try to keep it to 3 minutes if you can.
Like your predecessors.
I think in the future, we might put the league on the agenda, so they would have a little bit more time if they did it.
That certainly could be granted, Mrs. Deemer. Ralph Joseph Jr.
Yes, sir.
You're on.
Go for it, buddy. Just say who you are and where you live.
Okay, Ralph Joseph Jr. I live at 3444 Old State Road in Laurel, Delaware. And I'd like to address the council on having a variance done. Not necessarily the variance, but the cost of it. The way the economy is, my wife and I have been saving for about 2.5 years in order to rebuild the porch on our house. Well, the house was built in 1900, so the porch didn't have much slope on it. We have to put a new roof on every 10 years. To make a long story short, we wanted to remodel it. We were going to make it wider and wrap around the side to make the house look better. But as it was, when I came over from a building permit, I didn't have enough backset from the road. Of course, all these old houses are built on the road. They call for 40 foot from my property line. I'm exactly 40 foot from my foundation of my old porch to the edge of the road. So I have to have a variance. Well, when I got my building permit, they actually put an estimate down there at $6,900 and some dollars, and I had figured it was going to cost me about $7,000 for materials. Well, the reason I'm here is between me having to have a surveyor out there to survey my property in order to tell them where my property line is with a 50-foot right-of-way, which doesn't give me much, about 25 foot, to be honest with you, and the cost of the variance, I'm up to 10% of what my initial investment was going to be in remodeling my porch. I'm going to have about $800 in it with a $400 variance fee and with, you know, the surveyor's fee. So I'd heard rumors that you guys had been discussing a little bit about trying to drop the price of the variance, because from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the same price for everybody, whether it's average Joe homeowner doing an $8,000 job or whether it's a contractor down the road or somebody spending $80,000 to $100,000, it's still $400 for the cost of the variance, no matter who you are. So, you know, I'd appreciate it if you guys would maybe discuss it and try to get the variance lowered. I don't know, you know, I mean, you guys know more about it than I do, but maybe find the cutoff there, maybe whoever, $100,000 or less, maybe the variance is lower, or $100,000 or more, you know, it's higher, but there needs to be something done for the cost of the variance. Because, like I said, I'm running about 10% of what my initial cost of the whole investment was going to be just in a variance and having a survey done.
Did you have an old survey? Do you have any old surveys by any chance of your property?
I actually took that to the surveyor in Seaford because everything's electronic now, and it was a hand-drawn one. He's like, well, I can't even find the old one, which was, it was a newer one. It was done in 92 because I've been there 35 years, but we added another 5 acres in the back to build a couple of chicken houses. So I actually had to take him my survey because he's going to do it electronically now, and he's going to come out and have to redo it for the front.
Oh, you did have yes. an old valid survey.
Yes.
And none of your neighbors were concerned about.
Oh no, my nearest neighbors are a quarter mile each way. I mean, matter of fact, one of them's coming down to help me build this.
Maybe
porch.
We could look at something that would.
Well, I know this isn't going to do me any good as far as getting the variance done, but maybe to help everybody. Well,
we have advertising fees. There's no sense that, you know, if you've got to advertise for. Or variance, right?
Yes,
those are fixed costs.
Yeah.
And we have to do that by law, correct?
Yes.
Right.
That was the reason initially why the fee was set at the same level, at a uniform rate, but if the council would like, we could take a look at that.
Well, maybe we could.
Certainly is some projects are much smaller.
But we can't discuss that now under this part of the business.
Yeah.
But it is a point that we could look at.
That's a valid point. Thank you for bringing it forward.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, we need a motion to recess until 1:30 for public hearing.
Second.
Any questions on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 1:30 back here, public hearings, thank you.